from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. Happy Friday, everybody. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. James Hamm over there, Kyle Madsen right here. We're hanging out with you until noon on this Friday. Not a donut Friday. No donuts today, which is very, very rare for a Friday. James, I need to turn you. I need to turn your volume up. There you go. What's up, man?
I'm crushed. No donut Friday. That's ridiculous, Kyle. Yeah. What's happening?
No, I know. And this is on. Look, I'm willing to take full responsibility for this. If you're not familiar with the show or our cluster here at Odyssey Sacramento, every Friday, one of either James or myself brings in donuts. For me, this started as a little tradition when I worked at our sister station, 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. I became a regular at a donut shop, and that terrified me, so I cut it down to once every 2 weeks. I'd go buy a dozen on payday, and payday Fridays were donut Fridays. Well, James went, no, every Friday is a donut Friday. I'm bringing donuts on the off Fridays. And if Kyle's not here on a payday Friday, I'm also bringing in donuts. So today, I took it upon myself. We were not here last Friday, which was the payday Friday, and I thought, hey, you know what? I should probably bring in donuts. But then I thought, you know what? Not my day. I'm going to put the onus on somebody else to do something nice for the office. And lo and That's behold, right. The boss lady, Stacy, pulls up with just a gang of delicious smelling bagels from Panera. So a huge shout out to Stacy. It's not a donut Friday, but it is a bagel Friday here at Odyssey Sacramento. I'm sorry to let you down, though, James.
I'm out of rhythm here with the Donut Friday. Like, once I'm back in the office full time, like, I feel like I'm going to have to make up for this. I'm going to have to, like, it'll be like a donut, like, Tuesday just to do something weird.
No.
Donut Tuesday and a donut Thursday and a donut Friday.
That's too many donuts.
Not Monday or Wednesday because there's no one else in the office. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's make it a donut Monday, but you only need, like, 4 donuts. I'll cover everybody that's here on a Monday. No, I don't think that's a necessity. I don't because there's not, if everybody was in the office every day, we'll talk about sports, I promise. But if everybody was in the office, Devin Carter had surgery, we'll get to it. The Kings could have a little bit different starting lineup look, we'll get to that as well. And Summer League starts today. But if everybody was in the office every day, where everybody had the same kind of work rhythms, right? Because you and I and Jesse and D'Lo and Casey, for the most part, save for, you know, sick days and vacations, for the most part, it's a normal week is very much the same. Everybody gets here about the same time. They prep the same way. They're in the same areas of the office. And it just kind of like you get in that flow. For our sales staff, which is hybrid, and that goes for the sales people, the support staff for them, they're on a hybrid, like work from home, work from the office schedule. But then also our salespeople are like out in the field getting face-to-face meetings with potential clients. So shout out to them. They work hard. So that's where I think, I don't know that people notice Donut Friday. I don't think that's a thing just for us.
Oh, no, they appreciate it.
Oh, definitely.
I know. Yeah, like the maybe they just don't understand that it's a thing that we do, but I definitely see like they line up for Donut Friday.
Oh, yeah, no, and that was not what I meant to say at all. Like, people love it. And when you bring donuts or I bring, people are like, hey, who brought, oh, thanks, Kyle, James, thank you so much. Hey, everybody's super appreciative. They're so nice. They drop money in this little jar for us to help pay for the donut. It is crazy nice how people receive it. But I don't think it's in everybody else's rhythm the same way it's in ours.
So like that's when probably
we,
right.
When we miss a Donut Friday, I don't think people are like, oh, there's not donuts today. Just because the Friday isn't as typical for them as it is for the people of ESPN 1320 and the rest of the people who are here 5 days a week.
Hey, when we miss it, I feel it. Like, it just feels like something's wrong. Yeah. Like, today, I might have to send somebody down to go get me a donut. I'm still not going out in public, but I might need somebody to go get me a donut.
Just DoorDash some donuts.
Well, yeah, but I live in the sticks, so DoorDashing's going to cost me a bunch of money.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No, no.
They pull up to DoorDash on a tractor, or whatever they whatever they drive up there, up in the country. No, let's catch up real quick with you, James. No Donut Friday here at the office, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to do a show. So we didn't get to chat yesterday. We gave you the day off, and you sound much better today. You look much better today. Happy to see that you are trending the right direction, but. Did you have any takeaways either from the Cal Classic as a whole or from the finale in Golden State?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you can't expect to see great basketball.
Sure.
And the fact that, you know, in the final game, I thought that Keon Ellis and that group, they fought. They kept coming back. Anytime they went to the bench, I thought the bench let them down, and that's to be expected. A lot of the bench is guys who may never play even in the G League, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then overall, you saw, you know, guys like, again, Keon, Mason Jones, like really rally and really try to bring the team back, and they brought him back from, you know, down 20 a couple of times. You don't want to be down 20, but this is such a good learning experience for Keon Ellis. This is what you want for Keon Ellis, and I think that like people who just want to crumple up summer league and throw it away, that's really, it does have value. It has tremendous value for young players who, you know, basically have such a set role when they're on a team. And we might not see Keon Ellis off the bounce. We might not see Keon Ellis pull up from 16 feet, you know, but like a couple of times all season. But what he's doing right now is he's learning how to do that stuff in a highly competitive setting, in a setting where, you know, a bunch of guys are out there trying to earn their way to the league. And so for me, it's great on the job training for Keon Ellis. And again, for Mason Jones and some of the other guys. And it stands out that Devin Carter, you know, unfortunately can't be there and is missing out on this opportunity too, to kind of see what the next step is in his progression, what the next level of talent is above college. Because really that's where the summer league and then, you know, the G League is right there. It's that next level of talent above the college level.
Right. So there's a ton to unpack here. Devin Carter, the Kings announced yesterday that he had surgery on his shoulder. He will be reevaluated in 6 months. He will obviously not be participating in summer league down in Las Vegas, which opens for the Kings today at 3:00 against Memphis. My big takeaway from the Cal Classic, and this ties into a little bit what we're going to talk about with a little bit different idea of what the Kings starting lineup could look like. And then it also ties in with Devin Carter's injury. But Jesse and I both, we talked about this a lot yesterday. Our big takeaway for me from every game of the California Classic that Keon Ellis played in, but particularly the way he played in that final game where it was clear he was the guy. They handed him the keys and said, "Go be a starting caliber NBA player playing in a summer league game." And to me, that's what he was, and that's what he looked like. And again, not that I'm expecting him to get 21 shots a night and to score 30 on 21 shots every night. That's unrealistic. But I do think he acquitted himself well enough to comfortably say that as of right now, if I'm penciling in a Kings lineup, he's the starting two guard.
He's either the starting two guard or he's coming off the bench and playing a major role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he cemented himself as a rotational player as much as anything else. I mean, look, the Kings just went out and signed DeMar DeRozan, who is a six-time All-Star. And we don't know if he's going to play the two or the three.
Yeah.
And so that's a problem. You think that Keon Ellis would make perfect sense starting alongside DeMar DeRozan, but that doesn't mean that that's what the Kings are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to wait and see how, number one, the roster shakes out, because I still don't think they're done. It's been super quiet, but I still don't think they're done. And on top of that, I think you're going to want to see sort of like how training camp goes, how all these positions start to work themselves out. And for me, you know, the Carter injury is, you know, not good at all. That's not something that anyone wanted to read, that a mm-hmm. 6-month rehab. But again, it's something I heard the day before the draft. It's something we talked about on draft day and the day after
mm-hmm.
that there was potential for him to miss a good portion of the season. We now know for sure. I mean, he won't play at all until January, and that's at the earliest. That's before any rehab he's going to be rehabbing, but that's before any like true test, before right. he'll be back on the court practicing or right. anything else. So I kind of want to see where this goes with Devin Carter.
You said it's super quiet. I have Devin Carter thoughts as well, but I got hung up on you saying it's been super quiet for the Kings. What do you mean by that? Does that mean they're not active at all, or they're just not saying that they're being active? What am I to take away from that?
Yeah, I think over the weekend, I heard a lot of noise that, hey, look, they're not done. They're not done. And, you know, guys like Lauri Markkanen and Kyle Kuzma were people that they were probably going to make a run at again.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing's happened. You know, we're 4 or 5 days removed from the big monster trade. And at this point, it's gone quiet again. That doesn't mean that things aren't happening because they very well could be. But if I'm looking at the roster right now, I got to start looking at it honestly and saying, okay, where are the pieces? What's going on here? How can you get better? And do you have enough roster space, if there isn't a big trade coming, to go get some sort of help, whether it be at the 4-5 or the 3? This team still has some holes.
It feels incomplete.
Yeah, it does. It feels incomplete.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you saved the offseason by retaining Malik Monk. You took a huge step towards winning the offseason with DeMar DeRozan, but losing your first round pick for, you know, most of his rookie season, if not all of his rookie season, that's a big blow. And so where do you go from here?
Yeah. Yeah. The Devin Carter injury, I want to dive into that, because you're right. It felt like we knew there was going to be something with the shoulder. We didn't know if it was going to be, he's going to be out for 6 months or he's going to be out for 6 weeks. Like, don't fully know what the extent of that injury is. So I do think when we start stacking up the pieces of this offseason, I think his absence is pretty significant, especially given that they traded Davion Mitchell already. So now all of a sudden they went from this glut of guards to, hey, now they got to kind of figure out how they're going to piece this all together. So I want to talk about that and what this means for Devin Carter, A, what it means for the Kings, and B, just what it means for Devin Carter and his role in year one and how he could develop in year one, and what impact that could have on the Kings lineup and the Kings rotation. We'll talk about that throughout the show. The Kings open summer league today. What players are we looking for when they take on the Memphis Grizzlies? We'll talk about the Kings starting lineup. And then I've got some stuff from the internet that I want to complain about as well throughout the course of the day, because Kevin Durant went on the Kay Adams show. Hey, Up in Adams, I think it's called, and said a funny thing that I would like to get into. So we'll dive into all that here on a Friday. Not a Donut Friday, though, just a regular-ass Friday here on the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Jiffy Lube going to help me get my Honda Civic to 300,000 miles. Salute to Jiffy Lube. Can't wait to hit that number. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're going to a break. We'll be back in a second on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Hitter.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James over there, Kyle right here. Salute to Jiffy Lube. Got some bad news on the Kings front yesterday. Devin Carter, rookie first round pick, underwent shoulder surgery. He will be reevaluated in 6 months. And that's the key wording there, is the dreaded reevaluation. It's not, yeah, he's going to return in 6 months. The NBA is also the only league that does this. When a player in the NFL gets hurt, say high ankle sprain, team just comes out and says, yep, 6 to 8 weeks, or whatever the amount of weeks is, six to eight weeks, and then I'll be back. Not like, yeah, 4 weeks, we'll reevaluate and see how he's doing. And in that reevaluation and that update, they go, yeah, okay, 3 more weeks, we'll reevaluate him again. That's frustrating. I don't like it. Give me a timeline.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one. I mean, like I heard on draft night, 8 months, the day before the draft, 8 months. I heard a couple of days after draft night, 6 to 8 months was the recovery time from the type of surgery.
Jeez.
But then, you know, when he came in for his rookie interviews and stuff, you know, like at that point, Monty McNair couldn't even like confirm whether he was going to play in the California Classic or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's clearly not the case. So, I want to know the dynamics of how this all worked out. I do know, like, look, I know he's a little bit older prospect at 22.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would hope that he'd be able to step on the court and play right away. But this is also a pick for like today, tomorrow, 3 years from now. And that's something that Monty brought up as well. You don't draft for today, you draft for the future. And I totally agree with that. Like, it's a bummer that he's not going to play. But at the same time, you know, redshirting as a rookie is not a horrible thing. And getting to understand the travel and the rigors of an NBA season and what it takes to learn and all that stuff, watch from the bench, all of that, it does have value. And so hopefully there comes a point where he does get back on the court. But I would be surprised if it's not, you know, something, you know,
wasn't the whole thing during the draft about how they needed to find somebody who could help this year if they were going to use the pick?
Oh, yeah.
Like we 86 to anybody who was younger than 20 years old because, oh, that player can't help this year. So
no, it's very true.
And so now you've got a rookie who's going to be reevaluated in 6 months. So let's get optimistic with it. And let's say that he is ready to play in January. I don't think that's going to be the case, but let's say he's ready to play by January. So now you have this rookie who's coming into a situation where you're post-Christmas. It is go time. It is trade deadline coming up. Rotations have, for the most part, been established at this point. And now you not only have to figure out where this guy fits into your rotation, but also he's starting at square one of learning how to be an NBA player on the court. Like you said, there's value in the off-court stuff. He's going to be in film rooms. He's going to be watching practice. He may get to travel some and be on the road and do all that. That's all great. But on the court, I just don't know how, if you have, even in the most optimistic sense, where he is back on the court in January, that it's really hard to be optimistic that he's going to have much of a role, if any, outside of, we got a couple of guys in foul trouble. Go give us 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. And I would say his impact on the court is going to be absolutely nil this season.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, once he does get healthy, if he's let's say he's healthy by February, like I'm going to want him to just send him to the G League, let him get his legs underneath him. Because we always talk about this. That's a point in the season that January is where the Kings always have like their longest road trip of the season, right? It's always in January.
Yeah.
It's the month where you don't have practice. Like there's no way to get him on the court and have him take physical contact and like sort of clear the basic steps that the Kings have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're cleared. They let you play some 3-on-3 with some of the coaching staff. The 3-on-3 becomes full court 3-on-3. And the next thing you know, it's like 5-on-5, no contact, and then 5-on-5 with contact.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have a very strict like way that they build you back up to play. Mm-hmm. And so it's difficult to see that happening when we're talking about not only, you know, January, February, and like the sprint, but also the trade deadline and also All-Star Week and all that stuff. So it's tough to figure where he's going to be able to play. before maybe March, you know, and if he can pick up some minutes here and there just to get his feet wet, just to give you an extra body, maybe that does help. But I wouldn't expect any major contribution from him in year one because of this.
Here's why this is a little bit disappointing to me. And please, I want to make sure I'm being very clear here. I don't think this derails the Kings' chances to do whatever they were going to do this season. It's not that it is not that dramatic, but it is a little disappointing for me because when they drafted Devin Carter, and I did some reading and did some watching, and I went, man, he might just be better. He might give them more than Davion Mitchell did right like out of the gate. Mm-hmm. Like, they might have just improved their roster right now, and might have. Not saying he would have been better than Davion, but I thought there was a definite chance that by December or January, you could have a version of Devin Carter that was contributing in more ways or in more productive ways than Davion was. And you went, man, their guard rotation is even better. And TCG in the YouTube chat in the chatty house said they won't need him unless there are a few injuries. And that's a bummer to me. I don't disagree, but that's a bummer to me because I thought he was going to have an impact this year. And now, like you said, it seems like even if he is healthy by some point in January, early February, he's probably going down to Stockton, and he's probably getting his sea legs there. And that's kind of that's just a little disappointing to me because I was really excited for what he could bring in year one, even if it wasn't, you know, approaching his ceiling. I thought he could be a really effective player for them on both ends as a playmaker.
I thought so too. I thought like 16-18 minutes, maybe 20 mm-hmm. minutes per game in like a perfect setting. Yeah. But I also know that the Kings guard depth is pretty solid still. No, they did bring in Jordan McLaughlin, who can easily handle like 11 to 12 minutes a night,
yeah,
maybe a little bit more. You're going to have other guys that, again, I think this might open a door for a guy like Mason Jones to be on the court a little bit more than you expected as a two-way player.
Had a good Cal Classic.
Yeah. And, you know, again, he's done a bunch of work on his body and maybe he is more, you know, at like 25, 26, maybe he's more NBA ready to step on the court and help you right now. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be a team that thinks that they can win 50 or more, you know, maybe he is somebody that can help you, even if it is on a limited basis. So, I mean, this is about opportunity. It's about Keon Ellis all of a sudden getting an opportunity to prove that he's your guy, right? Mm-hmm. It might open the door for Kevin Huerter.
That could
open the season as a starting shooting guard.
That was my next question. That was my next question because I've been operating under the assumption this entire offseason that Kevin Huerter is out the door in some deal, in some trade. And it's not because he's bad. In fact, I think part of the reason I was so confident that he was going to get moved is because I think he has a lot of value as an NBA player. It's just when you start to piece things together for the Kings, I don't know that I he could fit. Any team will take a 6'7" shooter who's gonna give you 40%+ from beyond the arc. But I also don't know that that's a role that he wants to take on because I think he knows he has more to offer than that. So it was just kind of I don't quite see how he fits into this picture. But now, with Devin Carter down, it does open that door for Kevin Huerter to potentially play, whether it's at the two or at the three. And it makes me come back to what we were talking about at the top of the show with the Kings being a little bit quiet since making the DeMar DeRozan trade. Is it because they got word of what Devin Carter was going to need surgery-wise, and all of a sudden Kevin Huerter becomes a little bit less indispensable?
I would definitely think that that's a possibility that you know that Kevin Huerter actually he makes sense playing alongside DeRozan as far as a spacer and you know I think the one thing that we know about Kevin Huerter is that when he's right he can really shoot the ball. We don't know where he's at with his rehab. You know, he had a torn labrum as well. And it's funny because we didn't hear 6 months from when the Kevin Huerter injury happened. We heard 4 to 5 months. Mm-hmm. So it just makes me think that maybe there was a little bit more to, the Devin Carter surgery than what we thought. But like, look, the league is about opportunity and who takes advantage of it. And for me, again, one of the key guys that's going to get an opportunity here is going to be Keon Ellis. But then who else wants to stand up and raise their hand and say, hey, I'm willing to take on a bigger role, and I'm capable of taking on a bigger role. And whether that, again, is Kevin or it's Mason Jones, or, you know, name that player that maybe not even be on the roster yet. Sure. You know, I think there will be a little bit of a scramble here to sort of shore up the rest of the rotation.
Yeah. Can't wait to see how that all shakes out. Because I'm with you. I just can't, I don't believe that the roster as it currently stands is what the roster is going to look like when they head into training camp. We got to hit a break. I have a Kings lineup question for you. And our guy, Tom L. in the Chatty House, asked a question that I would like to address, because I think it's something that I have a question on and a thought on, and I think a lot of other people probably do as well. Just one of the big names that the Kings were rumored to be in on the trade market. We will discuss that coming up next as well. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
U.S. Windy.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Oh, you betcha. I got something in my eye.
Oh, no.
That's annoying. That's so annoying. Oh, gone. Got it. Let's go. Come on. Big time W. Applause for me. Good job. I got it. He's James. I'm Kyle. Hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to Kenny Caraway. No Damian Barling this week. D'Lo out on vacation, but Kenny's been doing a great job filling in. Kenny and Jesse and various friends have popped into D'Lo and Casey. Been a fun show, so make sure to stick around for that as well. Tom L. in the Chatty House, youtube.com/ESPN1320. If you want to hang out with us there, we highly encourage you do so. But again, salute to everybody who's listening on the radio on ESPN 1320 and on the free Odyssey app. We appreciate you as well. And everybody watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Tom L. said that Jake Fisher said the Kings are out on Markkanen. Do you think that's true? I don't buy it. I buy that 100%. James, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but what I believe happened, and again, James, tell me if I'm wrong. I'm going to float my theory here, and then you can correct it as needed. My theory is that the Jazz want to extend Lauri Markkanen, but also they would take the moon for him if a team wants to trade him, a la the Brandon Ayuk situation with the 49ers. And the Kings said, hey, we'll give you this offer. And the Jazz said, we would like Keegan Murray, please. And the Kings said, no thanks. And the Jazz aren't moving off of wanting Keegan Murray in that deal. And so the Kings are probably off of that deal if it's going to have to involve Keegan Murray. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think that that's like the Keegan Murray thing for me. Like, he's never been part of the deal.
Right.
That's just what it is. Right. Mm-hmm. So he's never been part of the transaction. And so it really does come down to like how many pieces, how many future draft assets and all that stuff are you going to go in?
I want to pause you real quick just to clarify. So the Jazz never asked for Keegan Murray?
No, I'm sure they asked for Keegan Murray.
Oh, got it. But from Keegan, the Kings standpoint.
From the Kings standpoint.
Okay, got it.
No, the Kings want Keegan Murray to be part of what they're building here and not part of a trade for a guy who's on a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how good that one-year deal is. Like, sure, you're going to have to pay him after this year.
Mm-hmm.
So look, I think what they've done is they've thrown like as much draft capital as they can at Utah and said, like, this is what we would offer. You know, it would have to be like Kevin Huerter, mm-hmm, along with like three firsts and a couple of pick swaps.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you get that deal done, maybe you don't. But the offer has always kind of been sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
If Utah wants to actually like have a conversation, like outside of that, I don't think that there's a lot of room for these two teams to play.
Right.
And that's where, you know, the Kings, you know, again, they'll have that offer out there and it'll be like, look, it's in your inbox. If you want to take that offer, or we think it's competitive to what, mm-hmm, like the Golden State Warriors might offer you, or what team, you know, that team X might offer you, but that's where we're willing to go. And then at the same time, the Kings have been, you know, in on other players around the league that they think would make sense for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's, you know, a guy like Kyle Kuzma, who's under contract for another 3 years, or a guy, mm-hmm, like Cam Johnson, who might make sense in some way. You know, a guy like Brandon Ingram.
You're super wrong on Cam Johnson.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he's proven that he's an upgrade in your situation. And then again, like the Brandon Ingram thing, I think will come up a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of teams around the league that sound like are not willing to pay Brandon Ingram the $40 million plus that he's going to want in free agency. And so I think his market is cooled, which is to me really surprising that you have Lauri Markkanen's market way up here and Brandon Ingram's market not way up there. So I'd like to see what happens here.
I have a question regarding Brandon Ingram, because we've talked a little bit about the first and second aprons and how that's changing how teams have operated a little bit this offseason. I think it's fascinating that Brandon Ingram, it appears the market has cooled on him because of his desire to get a max contract. And I thought he was the level of player who would just get that max deal because that's what happens in the NBA. We talked about this with some of the rookie extensions and like with Keegan Murray, how I wondered, is Keegan a guy that you're going to give a, based on what we know right now, a max rookie extension to? And then you and Kenny, I think correctly, said, yeah, that's how this goes. Like Scotty Barnes, same deal. Like they're going to build around him, so you give him a max extension because that's how this works. And so I've just always been operating under the idea that Brandon Ingram was going to get a max deal from somewhere, but I'm wondering if because of the way the CBA is now structured and the way the salary cap now works with the aprons, the teams are looking at a player like Brandon Ingram and going, yeah, he's a nice player. He is not a max player.
Yeah, that's where I'm kind of at too. Like, you know what he means for your build. You know he made an all-star team.
Mm-hmm.
But number one, players very rarely like look at their games played and are willing to take a contract that is a percentage of their games played.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, if let's say you're going to play in 70% of your games, well, that's not enough for a max money contract.
Mm-hmm.
It is if you're...
Oh, we got Frozen Ham. Hey, you got Frozen Ham, who had 1038. 1038 for Frozen sure. Ham. Big
Superstar.
Winner. Oh, he's back.
I'm back.
You froze for a second. Go on.
Yeah, so for me, like, look, I think he's a really, really good player, but he wants great player money. Mm-hmm. And the question is, can he elevate himself above, say, like a Tobias Harris, who always got paid as a great player, but wasn't a great player? He's a really good player, but not mm-hmm. a great player.
Yeah.
And that makes things really difficult for a team to continue to build out their roster when you have somebody who's making money that's not either showing up and being able to play in enough games,
yeah.
or who's not able to deliver you to a certain level. So like star level players deserve star level money. And that's where I think the NBA is probably, you're right about the aprons.
Mm-hmm.
This is where sort of the rubber meets the road here. Like guys are going to have to earn those max money contracts. Some guys are getting them still, but there is going to come a point here where it's like, yeah, we just can't do that, dude. Yeah. We can't give you that much money.
Mm-hmm.
You're not worth it. It's that you might not be worth it. And that's tough. It's tough for a team to have that realization where, you know, again, a guy like Domantas Sabonis, some people think is overpaid, even though he keeps making all NBA teams.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that dude's a warrior. He goes out and plays every game that he possibly can. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's different. It's different. So I don't think it's just about the numbers anymore. I think it's about the numbers. And like at the end of the day, what's going to happen to our team in the 20 to 25 games that you miss every year? Can sure. we hold up? And if not, I don't think I want to invest that type of money in you.
Well, and when he is on the court, this is similar to the conversation that I have a lot I host a 49ers podcast for those of you that don't know, Candlestick Chronicles, check it out. But this is a conversation we have a lot there about paying quarterbacks. And I think Brandon Ingram is a really, really good example of this, where the NFL is just a hard cap league. There's a number, whatever, I don't even know what the number is here, 220 something, I don't know. But whatever the number is, that's your cap. There's no luxury tax, there's no going over, there's no aprons, it's just, that is your number. And when a quarterback, like Tua Tagovailoa, for example, with the Dolphins, and the question is, hey, is he elevating your team, or is he a product of the team around him? And I think that the same question is, I think you can ask the same thing with Brock Purdy in San Francisco, just to keep it local. But as a football team, you have to pay that player because it's so hard to find a like quality quarterback, regardless of what the talent around him looks like. But by paying that player, you're now going to handcuff yourself down the road by not being able to pay for the type of supporting cast that made them successful initially. And I think that's where, and NFL teams are paying their quarterbacks. That's just kind of how it goes. But my theory on it has always been like, yeah, hey, let that quarterback test the market. And keep paying the guys around him and see if you can find another quarterback who can come in and be successful in your system. And I think Brandon Ingram is kind of the first player we've seen who falls into the category of, well, you got to max him. But he's not going, at least as of now, he's not going to get maxed. And I think it's partly because of the injury stuff that you're talking about. But I also think it's partly because of, hey, when he is on the court, what's he doing? Is he a max? Is he considered? Jason Tatum is a max player. LeBron James is a max player. Steph Curry, like that's the level of player we're talking about. And it's like, is Brandon Ingram that? Even when he's healthy, let's say he's giving you 82 games. I don't know that because of the way the salary cap is structured now in the NBA. It's like, man, if you could take the $42 million he's going to get and pay two $21 million players, you might get more production.
No, I think you're right. And the fact that they've done a good job of drafting and developing talent behind him.
Definitely.
And that Trey Murphy is like all of a sudden ready to play. And you're going to have to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to pay Zion. And now you brought in DeJounte Murray, whose contract just jumped to $28 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to pay CJ McCollum. Like, there's only so much you can do, right? So I think there are some points where, like, you bring in talent and you develop it and you have it. And there comes a point where you have to make a decision on, you know, whether or not that's the guy that you're going to hook, like hit your wagon to take you to the next level. And if he hasn't proven he can do that, I think it is a lot like some of the quarterbacks we're looking at, you know, like Dak Prescott.
Dak's another one. Yeah.
Like how many games is that guy going to win in the postseason? And the answer is like,
not
Brock
many.
Purdy's won way more than him already. And he's played two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really tough to kind of look at like where it is that you as a team is going to go and how do you map this out? Now, that's not saying that Brandon Ingram couldn't go to the Sacramento Kings and become like an all-NBA player and like just phenomenal. I mean, he's 26 years old. He's shown that potential before. He's averaged over 25 points a game in a season.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a certain amount of risk of not only giving up something to get him,
mm-hmm.
but then the cost of keeping him. And then what kind of depth do you have to have on your team behind him if that's who you do go with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can talk all we want about DeMar DeRozan being 34 years old going on 35.
Mm-hmm.
Fact is, he led the league in minutes per game and total minutes last season.
Yep.
Like, the dude's a baller. And that's what the Kings kind of have gone out and gone for.
Mm-hmm.
Is these guys that, if nothing else, they're
available and on the court. As we get Frozen Ham second time, 10:44, come down and collect your winnings. As we discuss which players in the NBA are getting paid and which ones aren't. I want to bring up DeJounte Murray. I want to stop on that real quick. There was a point during last season where I was kind of in on the idea of the Kings getting DeJounte Murray. And regardless of what it would have taken, it was just kind of like, man, I think he would fit. He ratchet up the defense a little bit. I know he wasn't great defensively with the Hawks, but playing alongside a more defensive-minded guard like De'Aaron Fox might help him out. And I just kind of, I like the DeJounte Murray idea. But then DeJounte Murray got traded to the Pelicans, and I was kind of like, ooh. I don't like that anymore. So I think the Kings did a good job not panicking last offseason and going and getting DeJounte Murray. Are we getting James back? Oh, nope. He went away. There he is.
I'm back.
Hello, James.
I switched Wi-Fis.
Nice. Welcome back. Welcome back into the program.
Sorry, everybody.
That's okay. Go on. Continue.
Yeah, this is a player that, like, if you're going to look at him, honestly, how many games is he going to play? What kind of depth do you need behind him?
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough. The last thing you want to do is to bring in yet another $25 to $40 million player. And now you're going to be up against not only the first apron, but the second apron. And, you know, like, is your team good enough? And can mm-hmm. he be the piece that puts you into the real conversation, the championship conversation?
Yeah.
And it's possible Brandon Ingram is that guy. But it's also possible he's not, and you have this problem that, you know, he's got to show that he can play 70-something games a year consecutively and like really prove mm-hmm. that that's a player that he is, because he's not good enough to pay $40 million a year if he's only playing 60 games.
Yeah, man. I'm the Pelicans are a weird team, dude, because I think they're in a tier with the Kings right now. I think even though, you know, they beat Sacramento six times last year, it's a bad matchup for the Kings, no doubt. But over the course of an 82-game season, I think they're roughly in the same spot. And it's just they're all DeJounte Murray and Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, they all fit just kind of in the same bucket to me of a really good player. But do you trust any of those, like, can you see that group of players winning a title together? I don't.
No. Also, I think you're right.
Kind of dangerous, I think.
They've collected a bunch of really expensive non-all-stars. Guys who maybe can make an all-star team in their career.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's what you need to avoid if you're the Kings as well. You don't want to have a bunch of fringe all-stars and not the one guy who can put you over the top.
Yeah.
But the Pelicans' problem has always been that it doesn't matter how good the talent is. If they don't play, it's really difficult to win in the NBA.
Yeah, dude. It's so much of their and we have to, like with the Kings, we have to see how the Pelicans roster shakes out. I think they're still in the hunt for a center. Would they sign Daniel Theis? I can't imagine that they are done trying to make moves at the center position. So we'll see how the rest of the roster shakes out, and we'll see what happens with Brandon Ingram. But it sounds like they're going to go into the season with him on their team. But it feels like all of it, like they were on the brink of beating the Lakers in the play-in game last year, thanks to Zion. He was so freaking good in that game before he got hurt. And yep. I think that they've hitched their wagon to him, because in the event that he does get healthy, in the event that he figures it out and he's giving you 75 games a year and he's giving you playoff runs, then sure, Zion Williamson, I think, is the type of player who could carry a team to a couple of playoff series victories. But at the same time, I think every year we're just going to go in with the same idea of the Pelicans. It is what you just said. How healthy are they? And I don't think there's ever been a team in the history of sports that when you look at their roster and you went, yeah, if they can stay healthy. Yeah, no, that's a good team. Because if they got a bunch of injured guys, I don't think that team has ever put it all together to win a title. Oh, and they got CJ McCollum.
I mean, that team, it always feels that that's kind of the way they're built. But I'll say, like, look, they've done a great job of building depth, right?
Mm-hmm.
That team is deep.
No doubt.
They've got a ton of talent.
No doubt.
The problem is that talent becomes expensive too. Depth becomes expensive. And all of a sudden, they don't have the ability to pay that depth as well. And that's why you're talking about the Brandon Ingram versus the Trey Murphy situation. It's why they lost Najee Marshall. Realistically, they don't have a center. Mm-hmm. They lost their center to free agency, and they traded another one to get DeJounte Murray. And now here they are, like, trying to pick up scraps off the scrap heap to get through.
Yeah.
That's not a good position to be in at all if you're a team who has aspirations. And, like, look, I would put them in the same tier as the Kings right now, as like that 5-6, looking at the top four with the potential to move into the top four, depending on injuries, depending on everything else. But I'd have a lot more faith in the Kings than I would the Pelicans, just because they have all these question marks still. And the biggest question mark is going to be the one that there's no way to shake. And that is that a good portion of their players are full on injury prone players.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. We're hanging out with you until noon. Greg DeTaber's in the Chatty House, and you can hang out in the Chatty House at twitch.tv/ESPN1320 or youtube.com/ESPN1320. Greg asks, James and Kyle, who is your number one potential available right now? I think it's Lauri Markkanen, right? Because I take that question, I'm going to wipe out all the future stuff and what does this mean. Just if the Kings went and got Lauri Markkanen, I would put them in a bucket of teams that could make a real run this year.
Yeah, I think so. I would like to say Kuzma as well, just because I think Kuzma fits really well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm never sold 100% on him as a player.
Yeah.
And I'll say, like, look, the same thing we're saying about Brandon Ingram, it's the same thing for Lauri Markkanen. Like, the guy has not been able to stay healthy his entire career.
Good point.
And he's on a 1-year deal, and you're going to have to give up a whole bunch to get him. That's why we always come back to Kuzma as like the fallback.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's fair or not, I mean, the fact that he's on a declining scale contract for the next 3 years, and that's like his 29, 30, and 31 year seasons, mm-hmm. like really his prime in the NBA. I think it kind of matches up, not just with what you're building right now, but with the DeMar DeRozan addition.
Yeah.
So, like, and that's where I would continue to tell people, like, the Kings shouldn't be done. Like, yeah. They might be done. They might not make another transaction here that's earth shattering, but they really shouldn't be, because they just opened a window, and it's a 3-year window where you have DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, it's a 2-year window with a $10 million buyout in the final year.
Mm-hmm.
But you open a window with a guy who's going to be 35 this season, and you want to take advantage of that window. Mm-hmm. And that means going out and making the necessary moves to get better right now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always feel good, but what I don't want to see is that the Kings didn't make a move, or they didn't go out and pick up player X because they're right up against the luxury tax. Like, look, yeah. You're the one who chose a path. Now follow that path and see where that path takes you. Because you can't back away. And once you get to this point, you can't have a group of players that are 26 to 28 and bring in a 35-year-old to put you over the hump and then not go all in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where we're at. So I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see what happens over the next couple of weeks as we try to figure out what it is that this team's going to look like, what the finished product will be going into training camp.
So to your point, Lauri Markkanen has played 403 games in 7 years. That is just under 58 games a year. He played 55 last season, 66 the year prior, 61 before that. And then 51, 50, 52, and 68. He's never gotten to 70 games in a season.
Yeah, I mean, the talent is there, but if you can't stay healthy. Now, look, I also would make the argument that, you know, some guys are just unlucky. Some training staffs aren't as good as other training staffs.
Sure.
It's possible you get to Sacramento and you got a training staff that keeps him in prime shape and he's able to stay healthy. That's always a possibility. But it's also possible you make a trade for a guy and he plays 55 games this season and then you lose him and you gave up a whole bunch to get him and you got nothing to show for it, but you know, good try. Mm-hmm. And that's not what you're trying to do here. You're trying to build a sustainable winner for the next, you know, 8 years. That's the key to what they're trying to do here. And taking a gamble on some of these guys is tough.
I'm with you. They're trying to build this, you know, sustainable winner over the next 8 years. But I think there's a pretty fine line to walk there. And this is why team building is so hard, right? Because you want to build a sustainable winner, but at the same time, every year that you're going, we're not going to push the chips in this year because we're trying to keep it sustainable. It's like every year you do that, okay, well, now you're trying to build a sustainable winner for 7 years and then six and then five. Like at some point, there has to be that leap, but that's where the hangup comes in with like Lauri Markkanen. Could that help this year? Like 1,000%. I think the Kings are a playoff team now. I think they would be... have a potential top one in the West look if they have Lauri Markkanen on their team this year. But are mm-hmm. you mortgaging your entire future for a potential 1 year push with Lauri Markkanen where he exits in the offseason and then you're stuck with the team you have now? Well, okay, yeah, you're a playoff team, but your chances to contend for a title are greatly diminished. And then also you have mortgaged your future so that sustainable run is now no longer available. Like that's a really, really tough line to walk.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would like, they're kind of at a point when you're sitting at a blackjack table and you look down and you've got an 11 in your hand and mm-hmm. you look over and the dealer's got like a 4 showing. Like the only move right there, there is not any other statistical move than to turn over your cards and double down. That's mm-hmm. it.
Yep.
That's the play. Win or lose, it doesn't matter. Like, the only play is to play by the numbers, and the numbers tell you that you double down on 11 with a dealer with a 4 going.
Yeah.
And because not only are you in the position to take one card and potentially, you know, have a 21, mm-hmm. but the dealer is also in a position to bust. That's kind of where the Kings are at right now. They're in a position where the gambles that they take, whatever it is they take right now, like this is almost what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like you put yourself in a position where, again, you're not bringing along a rookie this season. You're trying to develop Keon Ellis. You're trying to develop Keegan Murray. But realistically, this season has become about winning right now. It's mm-hmm. about maximizing DeMar DeRozan's final 2 or 3 years as an NBA pro. Mm-hmm. Maybe something crazy happens and you get to 3 years into this contract and he's still going strong and you're like, okay, why not? Let's just ride this thing out and see how far he can take us.
Sure.
As like a 38-year-old, 39-year-old. Okay, that's always a possibility. But the realistic thing right now is to look at your hand mm-hmm. and go, okay, the odds makers tell me that I am a playoff team. And if I want to take that next jump, I have to do something, one other move that puts me over the top. And that's to put your chips in next to the ones you already put in and just see what happens.
Speaking of fours showing, a lineup idea for the Kings that could have a player coming off the bench to start, what would that look like? What would it mean for the rest of the starting lineup? We'll talk about that next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We've got an hour to go on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Hitter.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.